today's daf is Bavasu daf Kuf Chaf Gimel. Kuf Chaf Gimel is today's daf. We left off on Kuf Chaf Beis Amid Beis, and we are up to two lines from the bottom. Tan Rabbanan, two lines before the end of the page. So says the Brisa. Tan Rabbanan, Lasei Slo Pishnayim. We know that you give a Bechor Pishnayim, but how do you define Pishnayim? Double of what? So it says the Gemara, Pishnayim the Brisa, Pishnayim Ke'echad. The Brisa says it means Pishnayim Ke'echad. What does Pishnayim Ke'echad mean? Rashbam, three lines from the bottom, Pishnayim Ke'echad, Keneged Echad Mina'achin, Notel Pishnayim. As opposed to, in comparison to what one of the brothers gets, he gets twice that much. Shem Hayu Chamisha Achin, if he had five brothers, Cholken and Chasim B'Shisha Chalakim, you divide the estate into six even parts, and the Bechor gets two of those six parts. But it does not mean that he gets two-thirds of the Nechasim, no matter how many brothers there are. No, over here, for instance, in this case, where there are five brothers, he's getting two-sixths, which is only one-third. He just gets double a portion of what any other individual brother would get, not double what the rest of them are getting altogether. So says the Gemara, how do we know that? Ata Omer Pishnayim Ke'achad. Does that necessarily mean Pishnayim Ke'echad? Maybe it means Pishnayim B'chol HaNechasim. He takes two-thirds of all of the Nechasim. V'dinu, and it's and says the Gemara, it's logical that it's Pishnayim Ke'echad. Chalko Mechad V'chalko Mechamisha. He divides with one brother, he divides the estate with five brothers. Machalko Mechad Pishnayim Ke'echad. Just like when he divides the estate with one brother, he gets twice as much as that one brother. Avchalko Mechamisha Pishnayim Ke'echad. So it's logical that when he divides the estate with five brothers, he should get twice as much as each individual brother, but not as twice as much as all of the brothers combined. So that's one logical way of looking at it. Oh, kalich l'derech zu, or maybe you should go look at it from the opposite perspective. Chalkum echad v'chalkum hey, we know that he divides the estate with one brother, or he divides the estate with five brothers, however many brothers he has. That's who he divides the estate with. So maybe we should compare it in the other direction. Ma chalkum echad pishnayim b'kala nechasim, av chalkum hey pishnayim b'kala nechasim. Yes, when you divide with one brother, you're getting twice as much, the Bechor is getting twice as much as that one brother. You're also getting twice as much as all the brothers combined, because that one brother is all the brothers combined. So maybe that should be the limud, that just like when you divide it with one brother, you're getting twice as much as all of the rest of the brothers, happens to be one, so too when you divide the estate with five brothers, you should get twice as much as all of the rest of the brothers. So the Gemara, this was just one long question. The Gemara is saying, how do we know that Pishnayim means you get twice as much as any other individual single brother, as opposed to getting twice as much as the combination of all of the brothers put together? Right, that's the Shaila. That's the question the Gemara raises. Talmud Lomar says the Gemara, okay, so we have a pasuk that tells us that reveals to us how we know that this is in fact correct, because the pasuk says Vahaya biyoman chilo asbanav. The pasuk says Vahaya biyoman chilo asbanav, and we learn from there HaTorah ribsa nachla etzal achin. The Torah is marbe extra Yerusha for the brothers. The Torah is marba Yerusha for him by brothers. And it's most logical to follow the initial Lashon. So what does this mean? So if you look at Rashbam, top couple of Rashbams, number one, V'haya b'yomen chilu asbanav, kulei kray yiseru. He says, first thing you need to know is that this whole pasuk is extra. Daksiv basrei, ki yas ha-bechar ben asnua, yakir lasei slo pishnayim. Because the pasuk's going to tell us the din explicitly of pishnayim. So this whole idea of V'haya b'yomen chilu asbanav is an extra pasuk, it's unnecessary. Ribsa nachla, shalo yitol pishnayim b'kol ha-nechasim, so what's the Torah doing? The Torah is telling us that there's a riboy nachla for the other brothers. What's the riboy nachla for the non-Bechor brothers? The riboy nachla is that the Bechor does not get pishnayim of the entire estate, right? He just gets pishnayim in comparison to each individual brother. Right? That's in that way, all the other brothers get a significant portion as well. Right? So that's what the Torah intends to do with that phrase, with that extra phrase. Rashash points out the pasuk isn't really extra. The Gemara already darshan this pasuk, right? V'ahi b'yom achilu asbanav. The Gemara darshan that v'ahi b'yom achilu asbanav v'yom atamapil nachlos v'yatamapil nachlos. Belaila. Right? Remember the Gemara had said, what do you mean, Biyamata Mapil Nachlis, Viata Mapil Nachlis Belaila? Do you mean if someone dies at night that his children don't get Yerusha? So the Gemara said, no, Din Nachlis, that a Din Torah over Yerusha is only done during the daytime, not during the nighttime. That's this Pasuk. So what do you mean it's extra? We already dash in the Pasuk. You can't say it's extra. So he quotes here from the Pnei Shlomo, that the Pnei Shlomo's Metarets, I'm not sure who the Pnei Shlomo is, but he says the Pnei Shlomo's Metarets, that besides for that limud that we had before, Biyam Velo Belaila, from the fact that it doesn't say biyom sheyinchalu el biyom hanchilo, which is a binyan hifil, so that tells us that it's coming to add something. It's coming to add something to the pu'ula. Had it said biyom sheyinchalu, fine. Then we would know is biyom atamapel nachlos viatamapel nachlos v'layla. But since it puts it in a binyan hifil, which is mosif to the pu'ula, so a diktukvart, and therefore it tells us that there's more of a nachla to the banim. How's there more of a nachla to the banim? Because the bechor's pishnayim is not pishnayim keneged the entire estate. It's only pishnayim keneged each individual brother. Fine, that's how the Gemara makes a drasha. So says the Gemara vayter ve'omer, and there's another pasuk, and the Gemara is going to obviously deal with why we need more than one pasuk. It's going to be more than two also. Va'omer, there's another pasuk. Ubnei Ruvain b'char Yisrael ki yu ha'b'char u'b'chalal yitzuy ha'aviv nitna b'charas l'vnei Yosef ben Yisrael v'lo l'siyaches l'b'chara. Right? The pasuk tells us in Divrei Yamim that Bnei Ruvain b'char Yisrael, Ruvain is really the b'char, but when he messed around with his father's bed, the b'chara was given to Yosef. V'lo l'siyachis l'b'chora. What does it mean, lo l'siyachis l'b'chora? Says Rashbam, lo sheyikra b'char nitna l'b'chora. It's not that he's called the b'char. The liol Ruven kari b'char Yisrael. Because Ruven is always going to be called the b'char Yisrael. That didn't change. Ella little shnei chalakim k'b'char. The whole idea of Yosef getting of Yosef being the b'char is not that Yosef is a b'char in any other way other than the fact that he gets pishnayim. Ruven lost his pishnayim. He didn't lose his title as the b'char. So that's what the pasuk tells us. Va'omer, and we have another pasuk. Ki Yehuda gavar b'achiv ulnagid mimenu va'bechora li Yosef. Another pasuk that tells us that the bechora went to Yosef, and we know that the namer bechora li Yosef, namer bechora l'doros, and it says bechora by Yosef, it says bechora l'doros. So ma bechora amur li Yosef pishnayim ke'echad. Just like we know when it comes to Yosef, his pishnayim was pishnayim ke'echad. It was twice as much as each individual shevet. So to b'chora l'doros always means twice as much as each individual brother, not twice as much as the composite of all of them put together. Fine, that's how we make the drasha. Ve'omer, v'anina sati l'cha shchem echad alachecha asher lekachti miyad ha'amori b'char b'yibakashti. The pasuk also says, I'm going to give you, Yaakov Avinu says, I'm going to give shchem achad alachecha asher lekachti miyad ha'amori b'char b'yibakashti v'chi b'char b'kash alakach. Wait a second, did Yaakov get anything with his sword and with his arrow? V'alok var nemar ki lo b'kashti eftach v'char b'yiloto shieni. Yaakov is not one who's victorious through military means. That's not how he's ultimately successful. It's not with a keshes, it's not with a cherev. Elachar b'zu tfila, kashti zu bakasha. Rather, the cherev refers to tefillah, the keshes refers to bakasha. That's how a Jew is successful. That's what caused Yaakov all of his great success. What's the difference between two different types of tefillah? Tefillah and bakasha, a cherev and a keshes. What's the mashal? What's the nimshal? So the Akronim explains, the Brisker Rav explains, the Brisker Rav al HaTorah explains that tefillah is a cherev, bakasha is a keshes, because a cherev is inherently dangerous. It's sharp, and you don't need much force in order for the cherev to do damage. Whereas a keshes works completely based on the koach of the person. Based on how far you pull back that bow, that's how far the arrow is going. If you don't put any koach into it, if you don't pull back the bow at all, the arrow does nothing. So by tefillah also, there are two types of tefillah. There's tefillah that was nitkana al yidei anshei kneses hagadola. There was tefillah that the anshei kneses hagadola instituted, which has its own inherent milos and skulos, and it doesn't come only mikoach the mispalel, but it comes mikoach the tefillah itself. It is inherently a valuable tefillah. The actual words are like a cherev. And then there's the tefillah siyachid, where an individual just issues a heartfelt tefillah, where the koach of such a tefillah is the koach of the mispalel, and the koach of the kavana, where the words aren't really what matters, it's the kavana that matters. And that's like a keshes, that the whole maila of the keshes is that it's your koach that goes into the tefillah. That's the Brisker Rav's explanation. He quotes over here from the Harchiv Davar. The Harchiv Davar is on the bottom of the Netziv in the Hamak Davar. So the Harchiv Davar explains it in a different way. He says, "She'ederech pasiyas melchama laruk tchilas hashomrim misaviv." When you engage in war, first you kill the guards on the outside. Ukshashetach panui yorim bekeshes kdei larugas hamelech. And then once the area is clear a little bit, then you start shooting arrows to the king. Kemo kein betfila. B'tchilu mispalim tefila kavua k'dei l'salikas mastinim v'amekatrigim k'mayas ha'cherev. First, we take the sword and we just knock out the outer layers. We knock out all the mekatrigim, all the mastinim, anyone who's going to try to knock away our tefila and tell the Ribbono Shel Olam not to listen. So that's first. V'acharkach efshe shabakasha pratis tuchal l'skabel k'mayas ha'cheshas. And then we go on to our individual bakashas. And then once we have the audience of HaKadosh Baruch Hu without anyone trying to distract or anyone trying to knock away our tefilos, then we go on to our individual bakashas. But it always has to be within the framework first of a standard nusach, a standard text of tefillah, because that standard text is what knocks out the mekatrikim. That's how the Netziv explains. Okay, so says the Gemara, now we just had all these different psukim that seem to be telling us the same thing, that when we say Bechor gets Bishnaim, he gets twice as much as any other individual brother, not twice as much as all the brothers combined. So my Vomer, why do I need so many psukim? So it goes like this. If you would say, based on the first pasuk alone, that's really coming to tell us the din of Rabbi Yochanan Baroka. What was the din of Rabbi Yochanan Baroka? So we had it on the bottom of Amud Beis yesterday. Rabbi Yochanan Baroka says, Im Amar al Misha Roy Liosho, if you say about someone who's in line to inherit you, but he's not in line to receive the whole inheritance, but you say, I want him to get everything, as long as he's in line to receive part of the inheritance, that works. He can get everything. You can't say it about someone who's not in line to receive the inheritance. For instance, if a man has sons and daughters, he can't say, I want my daughter to receive everything, because she's not in line to receive anything when they are sons. But if a man has five sons, he could say, I want my third son to receive everything. Right? He could do something like that. Rabbi Yochanan Broka says, it's not called Mavir Nachla, when you give the Nachla, when you gear all the Nachla, you direct all the Nachla to an individual child. Maybe that's what it's coming to tell me. So Tashma Ubnei Ruven Bechor, meaning maybe that's what was going on in the Pasuk. Right, so Tashma Ubnei Ruven Bechor Yisrael. That's why we need a second Pasuk that comes and says, Bnei Ruven Bechor Yisrael. That we see that it's a Dinin Bechorah, that this is the nature of the Dinin Bechorah. V'chitema Bechorah mi Bechoraso lo garminan. But still, how do I know? Maybe that's still not good enough, because I can't derive the Bechora, what the halacha is by Bechora from Bechora so, right? So Tashma, Vabechora li Yosef. That's why we have another pasuk, Vabechora, uses the precise word, Habechora li Yosef. V'chitema, Yosef gufei mimai de pishnayim ke'achad hava. And then maybe you'll ask, but wait a second, how do you know that Yosef's pishnayim was twice as much as each individual brother, not twice as much as all of them together? Where does it ever say that? Tashma, and that pasuk teaches me that he gets pishnayim shnei chalakim keneged shnei achin. Right? It's shchem echad alachecha means you get two chalakim keneged two brothers. The same that two brothers would get, not twice as much as all of the brothers would get. Fine. Period. Amalei Rav Papa Abaye ema dikla bialma. But still, how do you know that it's pishnayim? Maybe he just gets something extra. Maybe he just gets a little extra decal, he gets an extra tree or something. So Amalei Alecha Makra, Ephraim Menashe Kruvin V'Shimon Yili. No, Pasuk says, Ephraim Menashe Kruvin V'Shimon Yili, and that teaches me that that Ephraim and Menashe were literally like their own individual tribes, and therefore you see that Yosef was two tribes. Yosef is two Shvatim, so he gets twice as much as anybody else. Fine, says the Gemara Vayter. It's all I got it today, till the very, very end. What did Yaakov see that made him want to take away the Bechora from Reuven and give it instead to Yosef? So, Frak the Gemara, what kind of kasha? It's state in pasuk. It's mufurish in the pasuk that Reuven messed up by moving around his father's bed, and because he did that, he lost the bechara. So what's he lost the pishnayim? So what kind of question would an amora come and ask? He didn't know pasukim. So we saw Tosos. What was it last Shabbos that said that the amoraim weren't such bekiyim in chumash? But come in Bereishis, right? They weren't such bekiyim in pasukim. But the stories in Bereishis. I mean, this is something you got to know. Elamar Rosh and Nitnali Yosef. No. The kasha wasn't, why did Yaakov take it away from Reuven? That's well documented. That we know. The question is, why did Yaakov give it to Yosef? What did Yosef do to deserve it? It's interesting. There's a fascinating ha'ara that the Iyun Yaakov has over here. The Iyun Yaakov says that if you look at the names, something we would never pay attention to, Rabbi Chelbo asked the shayla, asked this kasha from Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. Why did Yaakov take away the Bechara from Reuven? Why ask it after from Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni? He says, now we understand very well what the kasha was. Because Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni is the Bal Meimra who says, Kaloma Reuven Chata Eino Elatoa. The same one, right? Kaloma David Chata Eino Elatoa. And it says, David ever sinned is mistaken. So he also said, anyone who says that Reuven sinned is mistaken. So they're asking him, oh yeah? If Reuven didn't sin, if he didn't do anything wrong, so how do you explain the fact that he lost the Bechara? Mara Yaakov, what did Yaakov see to make him lose the Bechara? Meaning the Pashup Shad of the Pasuk says by Yishkav is Bila Pilageshaviv, that he slept with Bila Pilageshaviv. Right? So he asked him, so why did Yaakov, but you say that he didn't, so why did Yaakov take away the Bechara? So what's the answer? The answer is, what do you mean, Mara Bechalal Yitzuyav of Ksiv? Not that he slept with her, it's that he mixed around the beds. Meaning, when I say Kalomer Reuven Chata Einu Elatoa, it means anyone who thinks that he actually slept with her is Einu Elatoa. But not that he didn't do anything. He obviously did something wrong. So what he did wrong was that he mixed around the beds. Rav Nevensal the Sefer Shifte Yisrael, which is a Sefer on all the Shvatim, tries to explain that why would the Pasuk say that Reuven slept with Bila if he didn't sleep with her? He says it must be that he had a Havamina, that he had a Machshava. And he says that's why when Chazal referred to Own Ben Peles as a Ben Reuven, that Reuven is referred to the one who had Own Ben Peles come out of him. Chazal in several places connect Reuven to Own Ben Peles. Why? What was Own Ben Peles? Own Ben Peles was the one who was going to join with Adas Korach, who thought about it, and then in the end he didn't do it. So Reuven's Yesod is his challenge, where Reuven struggles is in Machshava, is in thinking about a sin. And that's why there are similar letters in the name Reuven and the word Own, Aleph Vav Nun. That's why the word Own, he says, Aleph Vav Nun is one of the many words we use in the Hebrew language to mean Avera. Right? We have Own, Aleph Vav Nun, Ayin Vav Nun, Chet. We have all sorts of words that mean Avera. What's unique about Own, about Aleph Vav Nun? So he proves that Aleph Vav Nun is always about Machshava. It's always about an Avera, the Machshava. Very fascinating piece. But okay, he has many, many rayas. So says the Gemara Vayter. So Emshel Chamashal Ma'adav Adomah. So why was it given to Yosef? He says, I'll give you a mashal. The Balabayis Shagadol Yosom Tochbe. So let's say a Balabayis raises a Yosom in his house. He brings up a child, an orphan child in his house. The Yamim Hashir also Yasam. One day that Yasam gets rich, he makes a lot of money. Vamaraneu the Balabais Minichsai. So he says, let me give the Balabais let him enjoy some of my wealth. Who's the Yasam? Yaakov is the Yosef is the Baal Bayis. Yaakov is the Yasom. Yaakov eventually got rich, and he got this extra chelik bechora that he had to take away from Reuven because Reuven had to lose it somewhere. So he figured, okay, let me give it to Yosef. Let me give it to the one that I want to be mahane from my nechassim. So Amar Levi, ilav dechat to Reuven, lo mahane le Yosef lo madaim. Wait, so if Reuven would not have sinned, then Yosef would have ended up with nothing. The whole reason Yosef ended up with something, what does the mashal say? That he came into some money. So once he came into some money, he figured he might as well give it over to the one he likes. He might as well give it over to Yosef. But had he not come into the money, he wouldn't have given anything to Yosef because it was only that he took away from Reuven that he had anything to give to Yosef. Says the Rashbam, what's the Gemara really asking over here? V'ilav d'chat to Reuven, lov mahani lil Yosef pitmia, kolomar man nasan Yaakov li Yosef, shay michelek shar achin hosef lo. Yosef got from what should have gone to all the other brothers. According to this mashal, Yaakov should have given something that belonged to him, but instead he just gave a portion that was supposed to go to the children, so he just cut off a little bit from each of the other children and gave it to Yosef. So no, it has to be that he gave him from his own. Whether it be an extra bracha, something like he gave Menashe and Ephraim that extra bracha, which we learned recently that means that they're like dagim shag b'yam, that the mayim is mechasim osam, and the ayin hara has no control over them. So it must be that there's something besides this mashal, because for this mashal he gave him something that he had that was special, his own stock. He wouldn't just cut off from the rest of the brothers to give Yosef his special stock. So to give Yosef from that. So what was the there must be some other reason why he got Reuven's portion. So he said, no, didn't your Rebbe Rabbi Yonason say as follows? Why did Yosef get that chelik b'chora? Because the b'chora really should have come from Rachel. By rights, it should have come from Rachel. Tichsiv Ela told us Yaakov Yosef. Right, Pasuk says Ela told us Yaakov Yosef, that he just a klapeya MS. Yosef should have been the first told us of Yaakov. But Leah managed to preempt Rachel by davening. But as a schar for Rachel's tznius, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed that pishnayim to go back into Rachel's family because it rightfully belonged to her. Leah managed to overpower her because of her tefillah, but because Rachel managed to get back through her tznius. My kinmas aleh barachim. So what are we talking about? What tefillah did Leah have that she was kadam barachimim, that she was able to preempt because of rachimim? So says the Gemara, d'chsiv ve'eni Leah rakos. It says that Leah's eyes were rakos. My rakos. What does rakos mean? Ilem rakos mamish, that they were very tender. So efshar begnus behemat meilo dibarakasav d'chsiv mina behemat torah mina behemat sharei nena torah begnus sadikim dibarakasav. When it comes to a treif animal, to a non-kosher animal, not treif, to a non-kosher animal, a behemat tameya, the Torah doesn't even want to use the word behemat tameya. The Torah speaks in the most elegant lashon possible, not to make the behemoth may sound too bad, right? So you see from there, the Torah doesn't even want to speak in the gnus of a behemoth tmeya, right? It says asher einena tahora, even though it takes more letters to say asher einena tahora than it does to say tmeya. So gnus tzadikim dibrakasov. So you must speak in such a gnus about Leah that Leah was einena rakos. Now the Gemara in Pesachim derives from asher einena tahora that a person should speak a lashon nakia, but it's really the same drash, I think, right? That you speak a lashon nakia. What does it mean lashon nakia? You speak in a dignified way, even when speaking about undignified things. Speak in a dignified way. So to say that einena rakos is an undignified way to speak about a woman. It's a way that it seems like a not nice thing to say about a woman, right? That's the Gemara. Where is it in Sanhedrin? The whole Yeshu Gemara. That what happened? The Yeshu was going with his Rebbe somewhere, and they stopped in an inn, and he said about the innkeeper something about her eyes, about the woman's eyes, and that was considered to be a terrible avla that he said such a thing about a woman's eyes, that he would criticize her like that, and he was put in cherem, and that's, you know, one thing led to another. The Gemara tells the whole story. Ultimately, he became Yeshu and he started his own religion. But the point is that's a gnus. You don't speak negatively about a woman's eyes. That's not. It's not appropriate speech. Elam Rav Lazar Shemat Noseha Aruchos. No, what does Rakos mean? It means Aruchos, that her Matanos are Aruchos. She has long Matanos, meaning she gets a lot of wonderful Matanos because Levi came from her. So all the Matanos Kuhuna and the Matanos Leviya are all hers. The Medrash, Marsha quotes a Medrash in Breishas Rabbah, says Shem HaGedola Leia Gedola B'Matanoseha. Right, that she has kahuna, she has malchus, and the kahuna and the malchus that she has is everlasting kahuna, everlasting malchus. That which she's going to get is going to be everlasting. The Yehuda liolam teishev, zos menuchasi adeyad. But Shema Kitana Rachel, the Medrash says, when you compare that to Rachel, Rachel's Kitana b'matnoseha. Yosef is a Bechor L'sha'ah, is a Melech L'sha'ah. Shaul is a Melech L'sha'ah. The Malchus doesn't last in Shaul's family in Binyamin. Shiloh L'sha'ah, the Mishkan Shiloh, also only L'sha'ah. It only lasts for a couple of hundred years, but ultimately the real home for the Beis HaMikdash is in Yerushalayim, right? So that's what it means. The manosa aruchos, that her matanos are much longer lasting than Rachel's matanos. Rav Amar Rav says no. The olam rakos mamish. Really, it's saying that her eyes are taka tender. She had eyes that were not so nice. Why were so, I? But we don't speak with gnos. Lo gnai hula. That's not a gnos at all. El shevach hula. It's the greatest praise you could ever say. Why? Sheisa shemas al prashas rachim. She would always hear on the road when people were talking. Bnei adam shayu omrim shnei banim. People would always say, "Ah, Rivka has two sons, Lavan has two daughters. Gedola legadol, katana lekatan. What a perfect shidduch! Let the gedola go to the gadol, the katana go to the katan." Ever bother you why they automatically assume that the cousins are going to marry each other? There are no other people in the whole world. So the Marsha writes, no, the reason people would say this, they didn't say this about every family, that anytime there were cousins, they would say, the cousins are going to marry each other. No, people don't normally assume cousins will marry each other. But in this family, there was a track record. Right, they always want to marry into their own family. That's what they kept on doing, because that was the derech of Avram and Yitzchak, not to marry anyone ki im b'nei mishpachto mikroveim. The Marsha says they always wanted to marry from their own mishpacha, from their own krovim. Avram married Bas Haran, and he was mashvi Eliezer shelo yisi isha liYitzchak. He made Eliezer swear not to marry, not to get anyone for Yitzchak except for from his own family. So they figured, okay, there's a track record over here. This is what this family does. They stay within themselves. That's why people were saying that. So people naturally assumed the gadol legadol, the katan lekatan, lekatan. Vayse yoshevus al prashas rachim, and there's Leah sitting on the prashas rachim. Umashelas kadol ma'amasav. She never met her cousin, so she says, "No, what's the older one like?" Ishrahu melasim brios. Oh gosh, he's a horrible person. He's a bad guy. He's melasim brios. He's a bandit. Katan ma'amasav. And what's the katan like? Ishtam Yoshev Olim. He's an Ishtam Yoshev Olim, he's a tzaddik. Vaisabocha at Shinoshu Risena, and she would cry until her eyelashes fell out. Her eyes were so tender, she would cry so much. Wait a second. Isn't that, I've read this Gemara we've seen this. Rashi Chumash quotes this, but I don't know if Rashi quotes it quite in this way. It's very striking the way the Gemara quotes it, that first she asks, what's the gadol like? She's told he's a bad guy, and she doesn't cry yet, even though she's told she's supposed to marry him. And then she's told, yeah, but the younger one, he's a tzaddik, and then she cries. So what, she cries because her sister's going to end up with a tzaddik? What's really upsetting her? That she's going to end up with Russia, that the sister's going to end up with a tzaddik? So the Ben Yoyada explains beautifully. He says, no, when she heard that the older one was Russia, she figured, okay, a good woman could do a lot of good. I could marry him, I could change him. I have a chance with him. But once she heard, look, he comes from a family of tzaddikim. His brother's a tzaddik. Everyone around him is a tzaddik. If there was going to be an influence, it would have happened already. Then she was bocha. Then she realized that she has no chance. Now, where was she? Was she wrong in that cheshbon? Well, she's praised. It's considered a very great shevach. But at the same time, we're told that Yaakov was punished for keeping Dina from Esav. Why was Yaakov punished for keeping Dina from Esav? Because who knows? Maybe Dina could have been Machzi Rasul Mutav. Maybe Dina could have had an impact on him. So apparently, the cheshbon itself is somewhat wrong. To assume that a wife is not going to be able to have an impact just because no one else was able to have an impact is wrong. That part of the cheshbon is wrong. She was right in not wanting to marry him. You don't have to put yourself in that position. But for whatever reason, the cheshbon itself was wrong. Why is the cheshbon wrong? So I think it's a davar pashut why the cheshbon is wrong. Very often, people could have great tzaddikim as brothers, and because of sibling rivalries and other baggage that comes up with growing up with somebody and pressures and things like that, they're not going to learn from their brothers. They're not going to be able to be mushba from their brothers. I remember when Mary Bayman in high school came over to me and asked me to be makariv somebody a little bit, one of the other guys in the chevra. I said, his brother's like the biggest tzaddik in the world. What am I going to do? What am I going to do to help him out? He said, yeah, but it's his brother. So when it's his brother, it's not always gonna have the same impact when it's his brother, because it's much more difficult. Okay, v'ahenu duchsiv v'yar Hashem kisnu aleya, and that's what the pasuk says. V'yar Hashem kisnu aleya, my snua. What does it mean? She's snua. Ilei masnua mamish. If you mean to say she was literally hated, efsha b'gnus beim atmeil dibar kasev b'gnus sadikim dibar kasev. Same kasha we had before. We don't even speak badly about a behemoth tmeah. So we're gonna speak badly about Leah. El Rak Baruch Hu Shasnun Ma'asa Esav B'chanan. No, Snun means she hated what Esav, the way Esav acted. Vayiftach Hashrachma, and therefore God blessed her that she was able to have children because that she was able to have children because she despised the way Esav behaved so much that she put herself in this position to marry Yaakov instead. So we see what a tzaddikus she was, how much she was drawn to tzidkus. The Achronim deal with the question of the whole idea of snua is very difficult. That also when Shimon was born, what did she say? Ki snua anochi. The Gemara Nedarim on Daf Chaf has a discussion about a ben hasnua, and it talks about all sorts of horrible midos that a ben hasnua has. 9 midos that are terrible for a ben hasnua. So it's difficult to imagine that the Shvatim actually have a status of a ben hasnua. So it's interesting. The Rav Pa'alim in his Tshuvas writes that Yaakov Avinu all this talk of sinna that he hated her was only in the morning when he saw that he was tricked and he realized what had happened and he thought that he was never going to be able to marry Rachel. That caused the sense of sinna. But at the time of the Izdavgus, at the time where Yaakov and Leah were together, at the Tziras of Vlad, there was no sinna. If there would have been sinna then it would have caused these terrible midos. But at that time, there was no sinna, and that's why the Shvatim were okay. Umay tznius haisob abarachel. What was the tznius of Rachel? We said that in the zechus of her tznius, she got back that b'chora. Tichsiv, ayakad Yaakov the Rachel, ki achi aviyahu, v'chi ben Rivkahu. The Yaakov told Rachel who he was. He says, I'm your father's brother. I am the ben Rivka. But he's not her father's brother. He's the son of her father's sister. So what do you mean he's her father's brother? Ella Amrla, rather what he said to her is, as soon as he sees her, he fell in love, right? So he says, Minasvasli, marry me. Amrla, she says, okay, fine. Miu Abaramo, who v'lo yichaltalei. You sure you want to commit to that? Have you met my father? Right, the Shver is pretty tough. He's a Ramah, and believe me, he's very protective of his little girl. He's not going to let me marry you. So Amrla, Myra Mu'use, says, tell me how he works. How does he operate? Let me get an idea about the type of deceit that he practices. Armalei isli achta de kashisha minai v'lo menasu de mikama. Well, she says, well, it's very simple. I have an older sister, and there's no way in the world he'll do whatever he can to make sure she gets married before I get married. And Lavan is correct in that, in terms of the halacha. We actually pasken like Lavan in that. That it's not the derech lesis tzitzir l'vnei b'chira. We actually learn from Lavan. So Armalei achiv anibra maus. So Yaakov says, don't worry. If he's going to deceive me, I'll be just as deceitful back to him. So she says, what? Wait, maybe I'll take back my yes. Is that okay for a tzaddik to act with Ramaz, for a tzaddik to act in such a way to be deceitful? It's one thing for my father, he's a lowlife, but for you? So he says, yes, absolutely it's okay. Right? Im navar titavar v'im ikesh titapol. That with someone who's a crooked guy, you have to act in a crooked way. It's the only way you're going to get anything from him. It's the only way you're ever going to be able to operate with him. So masal simanim. So he gave her simanim as a way of identifying herself when they're under the chuppah. Ki kamay l'leleya. So when Rachel saw that Leah was being put in her place, Savra hashta mikasva achtai masratinu ne'ala. She said, uh-oh, now my sister's going to be embarrassed because she doesn't have the simanim. So she gave her the simanim. V'hainu d'chziv, and that's what the pasuk says, v'hi baboker v'inehi Leah. That it was in the morning, and behold, it was Leah in the morning. Mechlal dad hashta lav Leah hi. What, the person changed? It wasn't Leah until the morning. It was Leah the whole time. No, el mitoch simanim shemasol Yaakov l'rachel umasarta l'Leah lo haviyadala ada yishaita. But because of the simanim that Yaakov had given to Rachel, and Rachel instead gave over those simanim to Leah, that's why Yaakov was unaware that it was Leah until the morning. The Marsha says that the Gemara's Medayik, that had it not been for the simanim, then at nighttime it would have been Rachel. Meaning, it sounds like it was only that the reason why in the morning that at nighttime it already would have been Leah. The reason why it was only Leah in the morning was because of the simanim. Had it not been for the simanim, then the whole story would have been different. Why? Because there's something called Tvias Eina Dekala. Tvias Eina Dekala is how do you know if you're in a dark room that the woman you're with is your wife and not somebody else? So if you can't see her. So you know because her voice, that you could recognize your wife's voice. So if Yaakov had to be a Tvias Eina Dekala, right? So how did he get confused? So says Rashi, no, the point is, once he was thrown that curveball, he was relying on the simanim. So if he's relying on the simanim, he's not paying such close attention to the voice. If he knew he needed the voice to identify her, he would have been able to identify in a second. He would have been able to know right away that it was Leah, that it wasn't Rachel. But because he made these simanim, so he over-relied on the simanim, very similar to, says Masha, very similar to with Yitzchak and Yaakov and Esav, that it was Kol Yaakov, but still Yitzchak was fooled. Why? Because he relied on the simanim. He relied on other simanim. When you rely on the other simanim, so the voice, you say, ah, she must have a cold or whatever, right? And you don't recognize the voice as well. So the simanim were actually Yaakov's own downfall. Had he not made the simanim, had he just relied on Tvias Eina Tekala, he would have known who his wife was. That downfall. He ended up with Leah, not so bad. But you know, that's what led Yaakov to that position. The Marsha then asks, so wait a second, why did he make simanim? What about Tvias Eina Tekala? So he says, you see, he didn't want to be somech lechachila on the Tvias Eina Tekala. He wanted a more foolproof simon, and by trying for the more foolproof simon, he had this false sense of security from what he thought was a more foolproof simon, and then it ended up that he didn't even recognize the Tvias Eina Dekala. Fine, that's the story. So that's the special tznius that Rachel had. When you count the Jews that went down to Mitzrayim, so you find that there are 70, but when you count them individually, right, it says that there are 70 Jews that went down to Mitzrayim, 70 members of Yaakov's family, but then when you count each individual who's listed, you'll find that it's Shivim Chasar Echad, that it's not 70, that it's 69 people. Samalei tu'uma haisa im Dina, tichsiv es Dina bito. Now there was a twin born together with Dina. Pasuk says, ve'es Dina bito. So you see that there was a twin born with Dina. The word ve'es teaches me an extra person. El me'ata tu'uma haisa im Binyamin, tichsiv the S, Binyamin Achav Ben Imo. But then you're going to say, you should say there was a twin born with Binyamin as well, because it says the S, Binyamin Achav Ben Imo. So the word Ve'es should teach me that there was a twin there too. There was a twin there too. So Amar Margolis Tovai Subiyadi Vatav Mavakish Lavdim, and he says, ah, I didn't want to tell you. I have this special gem of a vart that I was trying to keep from you, and now you're going to make me lose it. You're going to make me give it to you. So what kind of comment is that? First of all, typically when you give over Torah, you don't lose it, you get it better, right? You know it more when you're able to say it over to other people. That enhances your own understanding. L'avda mimeni, I'm going to lose it. So the Rashbam says, kolomar legalos l'acher m'l'chavev hatam haya omer kein. He did this in order to make it, you know, in order to get the Talmud excited. He says, oh, I have a gem for you, I have a diamond for you, I have something unbelievable, I can't believe you're making me give this to you. That's a typical pedagogical trick, right, that a teacher will use in order to build up the Torah that he's about to give. He wants it to be chaviv to the person that he's saying it to, so he uses such a lashon. That's how the Rashbam says. Ben Yoyada has a beautiful vart. The Ben Yoyada says, no, what happened over here is that in general, the way things work when you say something over in the name of somebody else, let's say I heard something, l'mashal pick my rebbeim. I heard something from Rav Shechter in the name of Rav Salvechik, right? So who do you say, and I tell it to you, who do you say it in the name of? You say, I heard from Rabbi Leibowitz in the name of Rav Shechter in the name of Rav Salvechik? That's a little long-winded, right? That's a little much. So typically you cut out the middleman. Right, you say that I heard from Rabbi Leibowitz in the name of Rav Salvechik. Why bother mentioning Rav Shechter? Right, you just go heard from Rabbi Leibowitz in the name of Rav Salvechik. So he says that's the way it normally works. Called Shmaita Dimsam Rabbi Tlasa Kadmayu Basray Amrinan. You say the first guy and the last guy, you cut out the middle guy. So what he was saying is, if I was going to go to the Beis Medrash and I would have shared this with everybody, everybody would have known it from me. Now I'm telling it to you. You're going to get to the Beis Medrash first, right? You're going to say it. Everyone's going to say, oh, in your name, and they're going to skip over me and then say it from the guy I heard it from, right? So that's of the mimeni. It's going to lose my shame from this shtickle Torah. Every time the shtickle Torah is said, my name is going to be gone from the shtickle Torah. That's what it means, of the mimeni. It's interesting, Shailin, the Deber Tzinus Tshuvas in the Baron Moshe, he was asked, let's say you see Pisri Tshuva quotes in Nodeb Yehuda. When you quote it, do you have to say, I saw in the Pisri Tshuva in the name of the Nodeb Yehuda, or can you just say Nodeb Yehuda says? Is it Knevis Das? to say such a thing? Or do you have to say that where you saw it? Rebbe Tzina writes that he thinks that if you look up the Nodeb Yehuda, you could say you saw it in the Nodeb Yehuda. But if you don't look it up and you only saw it in the Pesukim you quoted in the Nodeb Yehuda, then you should quote where you saw it from. Okay, whatever. Says the Gemara, Hachi Yom Reb Chaim Bar Chanina. So this is the Vart. Zu Yocheved Sharasa Bederech Ledas Vena Chalmas. Ah, you want to know that extra person is? It's Yocheved. She was conceived on the road and she was born between the walls of Mitzrayim. Shnemer, Asher Yolda also the Levi B'Mitzrayim. Ledasa B'Mitzrayim Vena Rasa B'Mitzrayim. Her Leda was in Mitzrayim, but her conception was not in Mitzrayim. The Maral makes a big deal about the fact that she had to dafka be born right when they were getting there. That everything about a baby being born has to be perfect timing. And a little bit too early, a little bit too late, it ruins everything. And just like that's true regarding a baby being born, he said that the same is true regarding the birth of a nation. That number 70 was a critical number to hit, not too early, not too late. The Maral has a whole mahalich on this. Pasuk says, Yosef, so why dafka that's when Yosef was born that Yaakov says to Lavan, Shalcheni velchel mekomi velarzi? Why is it only when Yosef is born that Yaakov says to Lavan, I need to get out of here? So Amalei Ra Yaakov Vina Shein Zara Shal Esav Nimsar Ela B'Yad Zara Shal Yosef. Yaakov saw that the only way to defeat Esav is through Yosef. So he saw he was equipped now. Now he had everything he needed. Now he had Yosef. Shnemar Bahaya Beis Yaakov Eishu Beis Yosef Lahava Ubeis Esav Lakash. Right, that if Yosef is the flame, Esav is the straw that gets burnt by the flame. So Yosef is the only thing that can really burn the Esav. Maral explains that Yosef's idea is the Ein Ayin Hara Shalatas, but Ein Ayin Shalip of Yidgul Rov Bekeref Haaretz. He's totally mechusa. He's behind the scenes. You can't see. Whereas by Esav, what's the Yisod of Esav? Hayadayim Yedei Esav. The most external part of our body that could reach the furthest away from us are our hands. Right? Yadayim Yedei Esav. Esav represents that which is most external. So Yosef and Esav counter each other. But the pasuk says that when David was fighting against Amalek, David was able to smite Me'anesh v'Arev Machrasam. So David himself was able to do it. David's not from Yosef. He says, well, it's nice that you learn Navi, but whoever taught you Navi should have taught you Ksuvim also, because then you wouldn't know the answer to the question. So he had a lot of help from Bnei Yosef. Masrav of Yosef, so of Yosef has Viter, Umehem and Bnei Shimon, Holchula Harseir, who's from Bnei Shimon, who went to Harseir, and Ashim Chamish Meosu Plata, Unarev, it lists off Uplatio, Naar Yorufayov, Uziel, Bnei Yishi, Berosham, lists all the people, Vayaku, Asher, Saplatala, Malek, Vayeshu Shaman, Yamazes, so these are all Bnei Shimon that went and defeated Amalek and defeated Esav. No, he says Yishi actually comes from Menashe. So don't tell me that it was Dafka. That it was Dafka the Bnei Shimon. And in fact, it was not the Bnei Shimon. It was the Bnei Yosef who helped. You're never going to find the defeat of Esav without the cooperation of the Bnei Yosef. Okay, we'll stop at the end of the Agarta and we'll pick up with the Halacha as Hashem tomorrow. Tana Rabbanan.